All right, welcome to October 18th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. One of the reasons why I do this show is because history is important. You see, one of humanity's flaws is trying to get somewhere not knowing where you came from. You just wind up going in circles and repeating mistakes of the past. So yeah, history is important. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flag if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah, America! And now moving on to today's headlines, Seward's folly, the Mason-Dixon line is drawn, and the U.S. takes control of Puerto Rico. All right, so now let's do this. 1867, Seward's folly. In 1725, Russia took over control of Alaska, but didn't have much of a use for it and couldn't really afford it, especially after the Crimean War. The Russians didn't have more than 400 people living there anyway, and it was difficult to defend if, say, Great Britain, for example, wanted to invade it. So the Russians sold it to the United States for $7.2 million, or less than 2 cents an acre. The sale was delayed until after the American Civil War, when Secretary of State for President Andrew Johnson, William Seward, purchased the land. Johnson, already an unpopular president, was scoffed at by the American public for this sale. It was called Seward's Folly, Johnson's Polar Bear Garden, and other insults. Nonetheless, Senate reluctantly approved the sale on April 9th. President Johnson signed it into law on May 28th, and the purchase was complete October 18th, 1867. The U.S. virtually ignored this land for about 30 years until gold was discovered in the Yukon. Now Seward was doing the laughing. For all we know, if Russia was still in control of Alaska during the Cold War, they could have just come in from Canada to be our next door neighbors. Wonder how that would have played out. So yeah, in World War II, the strategic importance of Alaska was finally recognized and became a state January 3rd, 1959. 1767. The Mason-Dixon line is drawn. Between 1763 and 67, Charles Mason and Jeremiah Dixon surveyed the area of Pennsylvania and Maryland and what would later became Delaware and Virginia, the part that is now West Virginia, and established a border on October 18th, 1767. There was a border dispute dating back to the 17th century that would often lead to violence. The Penn-Calvert boundary dispute chose Mason and Dixon, two English surveyors, to establish a line between the 39th and 40th parallel, which both Maryland and Pennsylvania slash Delaware claimed ownership. Mason and Dixon used marked stones every mile to display the lines between the states and a cornerstone every 5 miles. Culturally, whichever side of the line you're on would determine if slavery was allowed or not, as Pennsylvania abolished slavery in 1781. Mark Knopfler and James Taylor wrote a song in 2000 called Sailing to Philadelphia, which is about the lives of Charles Mason and Jeremiah Dixon. 1898, U.S. takes control over Puerto Rico. Now, before your college professor tells you that all America does is invade other countries, tell him this. If you have a tiny fish, okay, and bigger fish want the little fish because the little fish is yummy, then the little fish might want protection from the bigger fish. That's what America does sometimes. The little fish is welcome to speak whatever language or worship whatever religion he chooses, which is a luxury the little fish wouldn't have if the other bigger fish get a hold of the little fish. You see? Maybe your professor will understand that logic. Look, Puerto Rico is an autonomous U.S. Commonwealth. It is not a state. On October 8, 1898, U.S. troops raised the American flag over this Caribbean island. As history has proven time and time again, namely 1967 In 1993, the overwhelming majority of Puerto Ricans would prefer being a U.S. Commonwealth. After all, the day-to-day governing operations are done by the Puerto Ricans. Now, some Puerto Ricans would prefer the island to be an actual U.S. state so they could vote in American elections and get more funding from Washington, D.C. If your professor still isn't getting this through his head, have him give me a call. Or better yet, just drop this class and get another professor.
And so that, scholars, is going to wrap it up for October 18th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance, have you ever been to Alaska? What's it like, besides cold? Or what about that story on Puerto Rico? What's your opinion on the U.S. involvement with it? So yeah, let me know on the comment board. You can also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on there. So good luck with those. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. The British surrender to the U.S. I'll talk about sleeping cars, the semi-automatic rifle, the Sutro Tunnel, and Mike Tyson. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. Stands for Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.